From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, big rulings out of the nation's high court today. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of pro-life pregnancy centers, stating in a 5-4 opinion that a California law passed back in 2015, which requires the centers to inform clients about free or low-cost abortion services, is a violation of free speech. Also, the Supreme Court upheld President Trump's so-called travel ban. Congressman Andy Harris of Maryland will be here in just a moment to talk about it. Recently, the Fairfax County School Board in Virginia overwhelmingly voted for what is among the most radical sex education curriculums in the country. Now, the question is, were LGBT activists using the nation's 10th largest school district as a launching pad for their radical sex agenda? Kathy Ruth, Senior Fellow of Legal Studies at the Family Research Council, will weigh in and give you reason to be concerned about what is making its way into your child's classroom. Also, Dr. Ronnie Floyd, President of the National Day of Prayer, will join us because as those on the left, like Congresswoman Maxine Waters, are calling for greater division in America, this coming Sunday, millions of Christians across America will be unified on their knees praying for our nation. It's called Call to Fall. Dr. Ronnie Floyd is here to talk about it. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you are on Twitter, at T. Perkins. Hey, let me just remind you, 4 days left in the campaign here at our fiscal year end. We have some generous donors, supporters that have put forth a matching challenge. So everything that you give, anything and everything, in the next 4 days will be doubled. So this is your opportunity to partner with Washington Watch Family Research Council to make sure this program continues and, quite frankly, expands. More people need to have the real news who have been inundated with the fake news. You can be a part of partnering with us. Give us a call. We got folks standing by, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008, or as always, you can make it online, TonyPerkins.com. All right, as I mentioned, in a 5-4 decision earlier today, the Supreme Court issued its ruling in a case that involved the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates. Now, what the court did is they struck down a 2015 California state law that forced pro-life medical clinics to promote abortion. Now, what this required is that they had to have signs, and in all of their advertisements had to state, they had prescribed wording, but they had to essentially promote abortions on their websites and on the waiting room walls, and even if they had billboards. The Supreme Court, as I mentioned, also ruled in favor of President Trump's so-called travel ban. With us now is Congressman Andy Harris, one of the foremost advocates standing with the pro-life pregnancy centers. He represents the 1st Congressional District of Maryland. He's a physician, serves on the House Committee on Appropriations, and he filed a brief in support of these pro-life centers with the Supreme Court in this case. Andy, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, good to be with you on a great day.
This is good news. It's great news for the pro-life centers there in California and elsewhere across the nation, but it's also a huge victory for the First Amendment.
Absolutely. You know, Tony, the only disappointment is that it was such a narrow victory. Yes. You know, it was 5-4, which just shows how important it is that we make sure that we have a majority of pro-life senators in the Senate going forward, because, you know, the next few Supreme Court nominations have to be with people who would have voted with the majority on this issue, because this was pretty clear cut. It was a violation of religious freedom and religious free speech, and it couldn't have been more clear cut. And you know, in the minority opinion, the ridiculous analogy was made to the fact that in some states, abortion providers have to talk about adoption. You know, I don't know any religion where adoption is something that they don't agree with. So to somehow right. lump adoption with abortion in terms of religious significance was just incredible.
The only thing they have in common is they both begin with A.
That's about it.
You know, I was struck by the very point that you brought up as I, you know, saw the ruling, that it was a 5-4 decision and that it was that narrow, given the fact that I actually a couple of weeks ago talked with Mike Ferris, who argued this case before the Supreme Court, and he was very optimistic that the court was going to come down on the right side, but thought it would be a wider margin of victory here. As you said, this is pretty clear-cut, but it shows you how strong abortion politics are even on the court.
That's absolutely right. And even from the arguments in front of the court and the questioning, you know, as I said when I talked to the FRC about this, I could have seen a 7-2 and even an 8-1. But a 5-4 on something that should have been so clear-cut is actually should frighten a lot of Americans that this is the way the Supreme Court views their ability to express religious free speech, or in this case, to not have to express something that you disagree with. But the fact that it is such a that it, and again, thank God it was a victory, but that it was narrow victory should reaffirm the need, as I say, that we have, you know, we keep a pro-life president, a pro-life Congress, and especially a pro-life Senate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this could have easily gone the other way, or had Hillary Clinton won and there continued to be a vacancy on the court, it would have been evenly split, and that decision would have stood there in California. They wouldn't be able to strike that down. And just so people clearly understand, Dr. Harris, what we're talking about is that these are privately funded. You know, many churches actually have crisis pregnancy centers associated with their churches. Others supported by Christians. I'm on the board of one of them. And these minister to help, on average, about 2 million people a year, no cost to the government. They help them with medical examinations. They obviously counsel them on choosing life. That's why they're there. That's what motivates the people to go in and help other people. And what California said was, no, you have to post a sign letting people know where they can get an abortion. I mean, I can't think of anything that's more un-American than to take somebody who's volunteering their time and their resources to promote a message of the people that's doing the exact opposite of what you're trying to do.
That's right, and in direct opposition to your religious beliefs. Again, you know, this religious intolerance that we're seeing and manifested in many different ways throughout the government, especially under the last administration, the Obama administration, you know, mm-hmm. people have to rise up against this because this is a basic right in the United States, obviously, you know, enshrined in the First Amendment. And again, I'm glad it's 5-4, but this was narrow. And had Mr. Gorsuch, for instance, not been nominated and approved, like you said, it would either have been a 4-4 or even worse, it could have been a 5-4 going the other way.
Yes, without question. I think underscoring that point that so close, and of course the president, to his credit here, Dr. Harris, the president going on record saying that he would appoint pro-life justices, who no other candidate in a general election had made that statement, that pledge before, someone who would stick to the Constitution. This confirms that he kept his word. And I think underscores what you said. Voters need to be mindful of this when they go to the polls this fall.
Oh, absolutely, because as you know, it's a 51-49 Senate right now. And along pro-life lines, that's also about where it is, with a few Democrats voting pro-life, a few Republicans not voting pro-life. If we're not careful in the elections this fall, we could send Mr. Trump a Senate that actually will not approve a pro-life judge for the next retirement. And if it's Mr. Kennedy, for instance, that means that this would have been a 5-4 majority against these pregnancy centers, which, like you said, no public funding. These pregnancy centers ought to be getting an attaboy from governments, not, you know, trying to close them down.
And by the way, I didn't mention that part of it, but they had onerous fines associated with this so that they did, if these clinics did not meet the demands of the California government, it was an initial fine of $100, but then $500 for every day that they failed to comply with this unconstitutional law. And as you know, Dr. Harris, most of these operate on a shoestring budget. This would have closed most of them down.
Right, that's right. They work. You're right. They go month to month on their budgets. And again, you know, the idea that we as the government will force you to violate your religious beliefs, or you have to pay up, is just crazy.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Thanks so much for joining us, Dr. Andy Harris of Maryland. Congressman Dr. Andy Harris, 1st Congressional District in Maryland. Talk about a major decision today from the Supreme Court, 5-4 opinion, that says the California legislature violated the Constitution when they demanded that these care pregnancy centers promote abortion. And I do think you are absolutely right. I think that part of what gave the legislature there in California, which is always a little off anyway, I mean, they're way out there, but I think they were fueled by the anti-religious fervor that came from the Obama administration.
Absolutely. This is the same. The Obama administration, of course, didn't enforce other conscience protection for nurses, for instance, who didn't want to participate in abortions. They could have under amendments to our appropriations bills. They could have. HHS could have looked at them, decided not to. This administration, looking at the entire, you know, literally 180-degree shift in how they're going to view our religious discrimination and, you know, the impairment of an American's ability to follow their conscience and follow their religious beliefs.
Dr. Harris, another victory for the Trump administration today with the court, and again, another narrow decision, 5-4, but upholding the president's right to protect the country. In this case, his so-called travel ban, this really is ultimately about national security.
Absolutely. And again, surprisingly narrow, predictably, but surprisingly narrow. And again, if you read the minority's opinion, you know, it says things like, well, this might have been inconvenient for some people. Well, let me tell you something. TSA lines are pretty inconvenient at the airport for a lot
yes.
of people. But
yeah.
in the sake of security, that's what we do. So to use that as a basis to judge the constitutionality of this president's executive order goes beyond. This is truly, a court. This court has members who just want to make it up as they go along. And, you know, if it feels good, this is the way we're going to rule. That's not the purpose of the Supreme Court. This was pretty clear that the president had this ability. It was national security. These were not only Muslim nations involved in this. This should have been also a wider ruling, but it just shows the political agenda of the hardcore liberal minority on the Supreme Court.
Absolutely, without question. Dr. Andy Harris, thanks so much for joining us. And again, thanks for your leadership on the life issue. I know that, as I mentioned, you filed a brief in this case and have been out there advocating for these clinics all across America. So
and I'll
thanks
continue
for being
to
with
do
us
it,
today.
Tony.
All right, and they'll have a little easier time now that the Supreme Court said they have a First Amendment freedom not to be forced to violate their faith. Dr. Andy Harris, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. Okay, coming up next, Fairfax County School Board in Virginia has approved a new sex ed curriculum that is dangerous to children's physical and mental health. Kathy Rue, Senior Fellow of Legal Studies here at the Family Research Council, will bring us up to date on this when we return. And also, she'll be informing you what to look for because it's coming to a classroom near you. Don't go away. We're back with more after this. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with Washington Watch. We have our greatest opportunity to advance biblical values in our nation's capital and across America than ever before. But we urgently need your help to seize this moment. For 35 years, Family Research Council has stood for human dignity. We're standing up to the cultural bullies like Planned Parenthood and the SPLC that are pushing shocking sex ed programs into our schools that is nothing short of pornographic, and we know the harms that creates. Religious freedom is being restored, but much work remains. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end on June 30th, friends of FRC have offered an amazing $800,000 matching challenge that will double the impact of your gift today. Help us complete our mission as we pursue a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Visit TonyPerkins.com to donate today or call 800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008. May God bless you in your faithfulness.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television and social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is false? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate the challenging topics surrounding human sexuality. We are all created in the image and likeness of God, and all people are equal in dignity and value and must be treated with respect. LGBT activists operate on a weak understanding of sexuality and ignore how scientific and empirical evidence refutes their claims. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT, where you can download this important resource free of charge. Again, go to frc.org/LGBT to learn more.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? Family Research Council is here to help with answers and insight from our experts. Our work in Washington, D.C. is to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture. We want to hear from you. Send us your questions about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church, or about any issue that FRC stands for, issues like life, marriage and family, or religious liberty. Go to frc.org/askFRC and enter Ask FRC in the subject line. We'll consider your question, and you may also have a chance to be published on our blog. Again, that address is frc.org/askFRC. Thank you for standing with us.
This is Washington Watch, and I am Tony Perkins. Let me again remind you, we've got folks standing by if you'd like to take advantage of the opportunity to stand with Washington Watch and the Family Research Council as we near our fiscal year end, which is June the 30th, so 4 days left. Because of some very generous supporters, there is a challenge match that is currently in play. If you would like to stand with us, you can actually double whatever you give. So we've got folks standing by to take your call today, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008. Or as I said earlier, you can go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, the Fairfax County School Board here in Virginia, or outside D.C. here in Virginia, in the D.C. area, overwhelmingly voted, I think there were two holdouts, voted for children to be taught that they aren't really male or female, that biological sex is meaningless, and that they can transition to a different sex. In fact, they adopted the term sex assigned at birth. And they will, by the way, be taught this without their parents having to give permission that they be taught, that they can be taught this. Now, several controversial additions to the family life education, sex education curriculum, or which is a program heavily opposed by a majority of the parents, what now is coming forth is that LGBTQ activists are using what is the nation's 10th largest school district as a launching pad for this radical sex curriculum, hoping that it will invade classrooms from elementary school to high school all across America. Joining us now is Kathy Roos, Senior Fellow of Legal Studies here at the Family Research Council, and was very much involved in tracking this. Kathy, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I'm glad to be with you.
Okay. There's a lot in here, but going from biological sex to sex assigned at birth, there's a lot in that. And that with that comes a lot of indoctrination and re-education.
That's right. Sex assigned at birth is the propaganda. It's the paradigm shift that the transgender movement is absolutely determined to get into all schools without parents' permission. It is the linchpin for them, and it is what allows kids to be taught that they're not really male or female, and that they can choose whatever sex they want, that little girl, you know, to teach little girls they may grow up to be men. You know, it's really insidious. It's a rejection of the truth of, you know, the absolute reality of what children can see with their eyes. But, of course, it's also a rejection that God designed humans, male and female. I mean, it's a rejection of all of it. And, unfortunately, this has happened. This is happening all across the country. But Fairfax County here is really being used as a sex ed laboratory. And now the transgender movement is admitting that California is one place and then Northern Virginia is the other. And they're experimenting on kids, right? So that's what we're talking about.
Now, as you pointed out, there was a puff piece, really, in the Washington Post in which they quoted David Aponte, who is the co-chair of the advocacy group GLSEN, which is they advocate for homosexuality and transgenderism, all these other things. They essentially said, as you just pointed out, Northern Virginia and California have served as laboratories for policies regarding lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender issues. And he goes on to say that changing this language, referring to the sex assigned at birth versus biological sex, in schools really affirms people's identity. It's validating. So science matters not. This is all about trying to validate people in a state of transition and confusion.
Right. And you know, it supports other lessons that this school board has voted in that teach children about people transitioning to another sex and so forth. But importantly, none of these lessons include anything about health risks or side effects. And they are tragic. There are tragic consequences to kids, to people, adults as well, but from trying to go down this path. Puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, they are tremendously dangerous to growth, infertility, and tragically, when people do go down this path, they still have an almost 20% higher suicide rate. So it's often presented as sort of the answer to an alarming suicide rate in gendered, confused people. But,
and the studies show, as you pointed out, there's a long study done, one of the most comprehensive in Sweden, that shows that they actually have almost a 20% higher risk of suicide even after the surgeries and the treatments. So,
it's tragic. Sorry,
it doesn't work.
No answer, right? It's not an answer, and of course, it's just creating terrible confusion and problems, and pushing kids down this path. Without their parents' permission.
That's what I want to drill down on, and we're almost out of time. But the reality is this message is being taken to kids in our schools at a time when they're in, you know, look, kids as they grow up go through puberty. They go through questions. They have these issues going on. It's just natural. But this stuff is being shown to them without their parents' permission, leading them down a path that can be very destructive.
Very destructive. And when one of the board members, one of the two dissenters in Fairfax, raised the point and said, we really ought to get parents' permission before exposing children to this, the board was having none of it. They voted down his suggestion, and one board member even had the audacity to say that it would be too administratively difficult to get parents' permission before we do this. And that person got booed down from all the moms and dads in the audience, I can tell you that.
Well, they have to get permission from parents to go on a field trip, to give medicine, even to take music lessons.
Right.
Crazy. Kathy Roos, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Tony, for having me.
All right, Kathy Roos, senior fellow here at the Family Research Council. You can go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. I'm going to talk more about this after our next guest, but coming up, there's some calling for more division in America, but this weekend, this coming Sunday, millions of Americans will be on their knees praying for unity. It's a call to fall. Dr. Ronnie Floyd is here next. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with Washington Watch. We have our greatest opportunity to advance biblical values in our nation's capital and across America than ever before. But we urgently need your help to seize this moment. For 35 years, Family Research Council has stood for human dignity. We're standing up to the cultural bullies like Planned Parenthood and the SPLC that are pushing shocking sex ed programs into our schools that is nothing short of pornographic, and we know the harms that creates. Religious freedom is being restored, but much work remains. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end on June 30th, friends of FRC have offered an amazing $800,000 matching challenge that will double the impact of your gift today. Help us complete our mission as we pursue a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Visit TonyPerkins.com to donate today or call 800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008. May God bless you in your faithfulness.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? We want to hear from you. Send us a question you may have about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line for a chance to be published on our blog. Thank you for standing with us.
If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. This new anti-Semitism is disguised simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at these incidents reveal how Jewish college students are being attacked merely for believing that Israel should exist. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So glad that you are with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at T Perkins. Okay, we talked about this yesterday. You know, Congresswoman Maxine Waters calling on people to confront Trump administration officials and supporters that they see in gas stations, department stores, restaurants, you know, further inflaming the division that's in our nation. There's no question. America is a divided nation, ideologically, politically. But this weekend, this coming Sunday, July 1st, millions of Christians across the nation in their churches will be unified on their knees in prayer, praying for our nation, praying for our president, praying for those in authority. It's what we call to fall. And with us now is Dr. Ronnie Floyd, a senior pastor of Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas. He's also the president of the National Day of Prayer and former president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Dr. Floyd, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Good to talk with you, friend.
And I know this year, this past May, the National Day of Prayer theme was unity. And as we come to a point of we celebrate our independence, the church needs to be on their knees praying for unity in this nation because we clearly are a divided nation.
Tony, never in my lifetime have I seen it like it is today. There are a lot of reasons for that, and rather than getting into the reasons for that, the bottom line is that the church must find a way to come together and to pray for our country. And I know we're really trying to encourage churches from all over America to join our church, churches all over all that FRC is able to influence along the way, to really just 3 to 5 minutes on your knees before the Lord, calling out to God for our country. Our country desperately needs prayer today like never before I've ever seen.
And this started about a decade ago. I was out in California, and a lady came up to me and said, you know, you just need to call the church to humble themselves before God and pray. Mm. And so I thought, what can I do? And I just happened to have been reading a biography about Samuel Adams, and back at the founding of the nation, when there was a call to the churches to get on their knees, which is in keeping with 2 Chronicles 7:14. If those that are called by his name, that's us, will humble themselves, and literally there in the Hebrew meaning to bend the knee, and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then he'll hear from heaven. And so we point to the media, and again, as you said, at this point, I'm not going to go into that. We can look at all these different excuses, but we need to take the initiative, and it begins in prayer.
Tony, the church and the churches of America need to find a way to come together ourselves. I really believe it's very difficult for a divided church to really have a voice to a divided nation and call them to unity. And we need to do a better job at getting along with other believers inside of our own denominations or outside of our own denominations. Bottom line is, if we can come together that the Bible is God's authority and Jesus is the only way to salvation, and the gospel is what is needs all across the world, then certainly we can just come together to pray for our country. And there's nothing wrong with praying for our country. Our country needs prayer, and we need to pray for our nation.
Well, and we're instructed in Scripture to do that. No matter where we are, what country we might be in, we should be praying that we might live peaceably in that country. But Dr. Floyd, before we run out of time, just, you know, for those pastors that might be listening today, how might they go about just participating in this coming Sunday?
Well, I think what I would do, Tony, is just really encourage those pastors to spend 3 to 5 minutes, talk to your people real simply for 30 to 60 seconds. I mean, they know the cultural backdrop is already there. They know America's in trouble. And say, listen, today knowing that our anniversary as a nation is coming up on the 4th, let's just get on our knees and pray for the country. And if you can't kneel, then stand where you are, and let's just all call out to God for our nation. And this is exactly what the pastor should do. He should cry out to God before his people. And also, you know, Tony, we have a lot of ministries and a lot of churches and pastors that are going to begin 31 days of prayer for my nation. I want to encourage people to join us in the month of July across this nation to do it for God's glory.
There's never been more of a motivation and a reason to do it. You're absolutely right. Dr. Ronnie Floyd, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for your leadership in calling the nation to prayer.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, Dr. Ronnie Floyd. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Also, there is information about Call to Fall on the website. It's real simple, as he said, 3 to 5 minutes. That's all it takes. Just get on your knees as a congregation praying for the nation, and then, you know, pray about participating in this 30 days of prayer. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. Back with more after this. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with Washington Watch. We have our greatest opportunity to advance biblical values in our nation's capital and across America than ever before. But we urgently need your help to seize this moment. For 35 years, Family Research Council has stood for human dignity. We're standing up to the cultural bullies like Planned Parenthood and the SPLC that are pushing shocking sex ed programs into our schools that is nothing short of pornographic, and we know the harms that creates. Religious freedom is being restored, but much work remains. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end on June 30th, Friends of FRC have offered an amazing $800,000 matching challenge that will double the impact of your gift today. Help us complete our mission as we pursue a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Visit TonyPerkins.com to donate today or call 800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008. May God bless you in your faithfulness.
If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. Supposed anti-hate watchdog groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center have curiously turned a blind eye to this emerging campus threat, and this new anti-Semitism has flown under the radar. The perpetrators of the new anti-Semitism are primarily the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, or BDS, movement and the Students for Justice in Palestine. These two groups disguise their bigotry simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at the language and tactics used by these groups reveals how Jewish college students are being attacked for believing that Israel should exist, or merely because they are Jews. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? We want to hear from you. Send us a question you may have about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line for a chance to be published on our blog. Thank you for standing with us.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com, and there's information there about Call to Fall. And pastors, if you're listening, I would encourage you to participate in this. You can actually sign your church up, calltofall.com. You can, if you're not a pastor, but you'd like to see your church participate in this, you know, take it to your pastor. Great opportunity for, as Dr. Floyd said, that, you know, if the church has to be unified before we can unify a divided nation. Also, I want to remind you, we've got folks standing by to take your phone calls. If you would like to take advantage of the match challenge that's out there, whatever you give between now and June the 30th, that's 4 days away, will be doubled. 800-225-4008, the number to call to do that. Okay, I'm gonna take some calls here in just a moment, but I want to go back to this issue that we were talking about with Kathy Roos about what was happening here in Northern Virginia with this sex ed curriculum. All right, parents, listen to me, okay? You need to be on guard for this if your kids are in the public schools. Now, if you have an option of getting your kids out of the public schools, I would strongly encourage you to do that. Get them out of the government schools where they're being indoctrinated. Now, that said, I know there are some parts of the country, some communities, you got great schools, fine. All right, fine. That's good. Just be aware. This is also reason and motivation for people to run for the school board to try to prevent this type of stuff. I want to go back to what this gay, lesbian advocacy group, GLSEN, a co-chair who was working to get this policy in Northern Virginia, because Northern Virginia and California serve as laboratories for policies regarding lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender issues, David Aponte said. He said, changing this language in schools really affirms people's identities. It is validating. So I mean, that's our goal. It's validating. Even though it's confusing and it's leading them down a path of self-destruction. It goes on, there was this article. This is, I'm quoting out of the Washington Post. Seattle also kind of going down there, you know, north of California. In Washington State, students in Seattle are taught about gender expression, and sexual orientation in middle and high school, said Lisa Love, manager of health education for Seattle Public Schools. Quote, after fielding requests galore from teachers seeking resources to guide younger students who had started transitioning their gender or questioning their gender identity, the school system distributed books about gender to elementary school classrooms. You got that, elementary school. Kindergarten students, that's five-year-olds, folks, learn from a children's book called Introducing Teddy and are taught that there are many ways to express gender. Wow, I wonder, do they teach them that there's many different ways to do math? In fourth grade, students are expected to define transgender and explore an example of gender diversity. The lessons for some students signal acceptance, Love said. Others move on with little fuss. So we're teaching kids there are different ways to express gender, although there are only two biological sexes. I wonder if they discuss the many ways to do geometry or calculus. No, because that would, you say, that's crazy, my point. What happened to the left being the champions of science? Reality is, they're not. Now, I don't really like talking about this. I would prefer not to, because, you know, I'll get the occasional, you know, not so much anymore, but the hate mail and all that kind of stuff. But folks, the reality is that we're allowing a generation to be confused and deceived by this. And it starts first in the home. We need to make sure that our kids are not being exposed to this. And then when we see it, we need to speak truth. Speak it in love, but speak the truth nonetheless. There are only two genders. Now, for those who only want to read the red letters of the Bible, actually in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus talks about, have you not read from the beginning that he created them male and female? There are only two genders. We are, yes, it might be uncomfortable to confront people with that reality because it's not affirming. But it's reality nonetheless. Now, I'm going to play a clip from a program from Washington Watch about a month ago. And the reason I'm playing the clip is, and by the way, I want to thank Right Wing Watch because I pulled it off of their website, the SoundCloud, because the left kind of went crazy over this analogy that I used about what we're talking about and why it is wrong for us to be silent. So here's a clip from last month's Washington Watch, from Right Wing Watch. If you are a male, genetically you are a male, biologically you're a male, and you say, well, I'm not a male, I'm a female. I mean, what's to keep you from saying that you're an animal? I mean, think about this for a minute. Somebody says, well, look, I'm a bird man, all right? I'm a bird man, and I'm going to jump off this building and fly. Do you have a responsibility to stop that person from jumping off that building? I mean, you know that they don't have feathers and they can't fly. But you would hurt their feelings if you said, no, wait, Fred, you're not a bird man. You're a man, but you're not a bird and you can fly. But out of respect for not hurting his feelings, you go ahead and you let him jump. And that was the end of Fred. That's, again, the lunacy. Because the reality is, when we allow kids, people, to identify with something other than reality, it is ultimately hurting themselves. And folks, I approve of that message. I said it. I stand by it. It is true. We are not here to affirm people in bad decisions and confusion. We're to help them see the truth and understand the truth and to stand by and say nothing. And as Kathy Roos made reference to the fact that, you know, people say, well, you know, if I can identify with this gender that I feel and I can take the drugs or have the surgeries, then I'll deal with this internal confusion. The reality is that's not true. They actually have a higher rate of suicide. And it's not just, that's because they don't accept them. That's not the case. They don't accept themselves. When we're counter, when we operate and live counter to what we're created to be, then there's this confusion and internal conflict. Folks, we need to be willing to speak the truth. It begins in the home. And we need to make sure that our children are not being exposed to this stuff. And by the way, this, as we've talked about before a lot, and we didn't even talk about it on today, about the content of this sex ed curriculum and the fact that it's pornographic. And in many ways is a entrance point for many kids into pornography because they see this stuff, they're inquisitive, they look, they find out more, and they're taught how to have self-pleasure. I mean, we are leading kids. Basically, we're telling them nothing more than their sexual desires and instincts. All right. Let's take a few phone calls here. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Jim in Columbus. Jim, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, about 3 weeks ago, myself and a guy named Pete from South Carolina, maybe North Carolina, called you, and we were both nudging you. I thought it was terribly ironic. We were both nudging you toward the Declaration. We're less than 2 weeks away from Independence Day celebration. It's got to be more than fireworks, hamburgers, and crying in your beer country music. That document is a blueprint that we've lost connection with. Our wrestling with the left right now is specifically remedied in the first sentence of the Declaration. It basically tells us there comes a time when the ideological divide gets so wide, and you've just described some of it here today. It gets so wide that we are impelled to declare a cause for separation. That's where we are, like it or not. That's where we are. And we have got to become more connected with those precepts from the Declaration. If we're going to save this country, if we don't, there's no vision.
So Jim, I agree. Yeah, I agree with the fact that we need to focus on the Declaration, the key components of that Declaration. I do not believe that we're at a point of, you know, where we need to separate. I actually think what we need to do is continue to shape, restore, reform, rebuild. I see some very positive trends that are taking place. I think the 2016 election being a key example, but the policies that this administration has put forth, the court decisions today. I mean, we're showing that we can work within the framework that our founders put in place, that we can even recover from the 8 years of Obama, which were simply built upon, you know, decades of bad government, both from Republicans and Democrats. So I would start, as I was talking with Dr. Floyd earlier, I think this weekend, before we go into next Wednesday and to celebrate our independence, that we declare our dependence upon God as a nation. I think it's critical. I think it's important that the church take that initiative and then be involved, whether it's at the local school board or whether it is Congress, state legislature, be voting, but be involved, be candidates, influence where you can. All right, I'm going to take another call here. Let's go to Mary in Kansas. Mary, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, on the school system to where they're trying to force us to let the kids see pornography about this, their way of teaching, and in California where they are saying they wanted a law where we cannot help homosexuals that want help, and so that could be against the law. It just seems like that President Trump could come in and say, you're saying we can't ask for help. It would be against the law if that bill passed. But yet in the school system, they're trying to say it's okay for them to force their therapy on our kids. And there's got to be something legally that maybe the federal could do to balance this out better. And or we need to all start just suing the school system, saying you're teaching our kids it's okay to be to have pornography, and their system's so young, and that could lead to child abuse or sexual abuse to our young kids by teaching them to be that way. And as they become adults, they could force their issue on another child. And
yeah, Mary, good. We're almost out of time, so let me address that. I mean, the one thing about conservatives, Republicans, they tend to honor the Constitution and the 10th Amendment, allowing the states to make mistakes, do their own policies, which California is a big mistake in almost everything they do. But there are some strings, federal dollars that go in, can't be used for certain things. So that's certainly something that has been discussed and should be pursued further. It's an interesting point about suing the schools. As there's longevity here and you begin to see the effects of these policies. Now, these policies we're talking about today are very new, but the sex ed policies, which have become more frequent in the last couple of decades, we're looking at this actually, the correlation between the rise in pornography addiction. And, of course, you've got several states now that have declared a health crisis based upon pornography. That, following this back, connecting the links, does it go back to what the kids are being exposed to in our schools? I mean, it's complex because there's a lot of factors out there in our culture. But, the schools serve as a role as authoritative figure, and what they give their blessing to, kids pursue. And, again, talking about you can only describe it as pornographic, this sex ed curriculum that we're seeing in the schools. I do think there's a connection. And, that's one way to hold them to account. Mary, thanks so much for the call. Sorry, folks, out of time. Not going to get to the rest of the calls. But Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow, and I hope you will as well. Until then, you know what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6? Well, let me tell you. He said, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, guess what? Just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.